You know, the Soviets believe in the abiotic oil theory at the time, those Soviets. And all this started, of course, when Thomas Gold came up with his theories as well. He was an Austrian astrophysicist. Let's go back to Ted and pick him up. Go ahead, Ted. You still with us?
George, I really appreciate you keeping me through the break.
No. It's a good discussion.
Well, so anyway, I mean, no disrespect.
I understand. You know, the great part about this show, we can agree to disagree.
Sure. That's certainly true. So, I mean, gentlemen can disagree. I just feel that, I don't even, just mathematically, if this stuff was already being produced within the earth before we started drilling, we should be awash in oil. In other words, we've only been drilling for 100 years, and no, we're not in danger of depleting it, but depletion isn't really the issue. Once you reach a certain critical point, there's just not enough pressure to keep the flow going.
Let me read this to you. I want your reaction to this.
Sure.
According to Thomas Gold, see, I had some time to do some research. That's why I held you over. But according to Thomas Gold and Soviet geologists who originated the abiotic theory, bacteria feeding on the oil accounts for the presence of biological debris in hydrocarbon fuels. And they say the need to resort to the biogenic theory for the origin of the latter, the flows of the underground hydrocarbons may also explain oddities in the concentration of other mineral deposits. But then they say recent discoveries have shown that bacteria live at depths far greater than previous believed. And while this does not prove Gold's theory, it will lend support to its arguments.
Sure.
Let me ask you this. Why don't you believe that oil could be created by the planet as opposed to...
Okay, sure. Absolutely. I'll clarify. I do not in any way believe that oil could not be created by the... Sorry, that's double negative. Sure, absolutely. Oil could be created by organisms within the Earth. However, the rate at which organisms, hypothetical organisms that create long-chain polymer hydrocarbons, that they could create them within the Earth could not in any way match the rate at which we have extracted them from the Earth over the past 100-odd years. The reason being that it's Archimedes' principle. When we dig a well, we get the highest rate of pressure up the well that we ever will as soon as we sink it. And then it just starts diminishing from there. But it starts very slowly. Until you've depleted about half of the well, you're going to get fairly constant rates of pressure. And then you start to get a steep decline. And this is what we've seen in the North Sea. This is what we're seeing in Mexico's Cantarell field. This is what we're starting to see all over in very, very many large oil-producing fields, which are, of course, they're the low-hanging fruit. They're the big ones. They're the ones we found first. They are not being replenished at all. I mean, you know, you can take the metaphor of an aquifer, like the Ogallala aquifer in the Midwest. It is replenished by natural means, sure. But if you're depleting it, you know, if you have, you know, when I was in college not too long ago, and I'm sure I'm by no means like an expert, you know, 40 years of experience in the petrogeology field. I'm a recent graduate. But, you know, if I had...
I got to get you to predict earthquakes.
That'll
be our next step.
Yeah, I don't have enough time to check all the want ads for missing pets.
It works.
Actually, my dad was in the 1989 earthquake covering the World Series. But anyway, you know, if I have 100 packages of Top Ramen and I'm able to afford 25 more every week, which is pretty much my situation when I was in school, but if I'm eating 50 a week, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to burn through it too quick. We're burning through 7.5 billion barrels of oil a year.
It's a big planet. Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah, but the pressure has not been, we're, it's it's a very simple problem of essentially, you know, buoyancy and pressure.
Let me ask you this. Explain this to me, and then let me take a few more other calls. But
sure.
Let me ask you this. If your basis that abiotic does not exist because of the pressure, why is that? Why can't that be the case?
Well, no, it's not that it can't exist. It's simply that if it does exist, it's replenishing it at negligible, beyond negligible. We're using 7.5 billion barrels a day. There has been no replenishment to speak of. So if it is happening, let's say there is abiotic processes or biotic, it doesn't matter. Let's say that the Earth, through microorganisms or through tectonic pressure, mm-hmm. is creating oil.
Okay.
It's only doing it at a rate that is less than 1%, much less than 1% of the rate at which industrial society is using it.
Okay.
So it's a moot point, essentially.
Okay. All right. So your argument is not how it's made, but how it's being used?
To put a fine point on it, yes.
Okay. Well, that we agree on.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Ted.
Letting me take your time.
When we do a show on this, definitely call in. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and don't forget our Psychic Vampire Energy Zapper hotline number is 818-817-0021. East of the Rockies, Scott in North Carolina, welcome to the program. Hey, Scott.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing. I've
been listening to you for about 2 years now, and I just absolutely love your program.
Thank you very much.
I was calling tonight to ask about the CERN particle accelerator. I hadn't heard much about it lately, and I was wondering if you could give me an update on what's going on.
I'm so glad you asked me that. First of all, while I was chatting with my guest last night, he mentioned that he had heard that there was an accident at CERN slowing down their trial experiment, and he's correct. One of the huge magnets that they've got, and I can't explain it all, broke off in one of the tests. I've got an expert on tomorrow night, Walter Wagner, who's going to address that Sunday night. On Sunday night, first hour, make sure you're listening. The whole hour is going to be about CERN.
Fantastic. I'll make sure to listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm in Sunday, first hour. We talk about CERN. You know, they had apparently a problem with the mathematics. Now, these are the same scientists who are telling us not to worry. We're not going to create a black hole. We're not going to screw up anything. And the first shot out of the box, their mathematics are wrong, and something happens. That kind of makes me a little edgy. How about you? Next up, let's go to the Energy Zapper line. Earl in California. Hey, Earl, how are you?
Hi, George. Yeah, Zapper will be my granddad.
Oh, really?
It's been history that whenever he's low on energy, let's say it's lunchtime and he's hungry and you visit him, the first person who greets him gets that. And it happened to my wife, actually.
Then a second person, third person, they're okay.
They're okay. And what happens is they get headaches, dizziness, sometimes fever. And when you bring them to the doctor, nobody could figure out what happened. Then after, you know, when we trace back, we just go back to him. And this may sound gross, but the only solution is he has to put saliva in his thumb, on his thumb, and makes a cross on your forehead or your stomach.
And then you're okay.
And then you're okay.
Now, it sounds like he's a nice guy, right?
Yeah, it's not even intentional. It's just that, I guess, when he needs energy, he takes it from whoever's right there. So that's why when we visit with my daughter, which is going to be her great-great-granddaughter, before we leave, it has become a ritual that he has to do that.
And why does that seem to work?
That I don't know. I've been consulting with, because I have healer friends, and that saliva thing, we couldn't figure out. They could explain.
Too bad it can't be some kind of ointment or something. It's got to be spit, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it runs in the family because his daughter, which is my aunt, has it too. It's not too often, but when it happens, it's tremendous. No doctor can diagnose it.
I want to tell you a story, if you're up for it. Now,
go ahead.
It might make you feel a little wheezy after I tell you it, but since you brought up the spit, I'm going to tell you this story. This guy walks into a bar, and he puts $100 down on the table, and he tells the bartender he could drink this spittoon. You know what a spittoon is?
No.
Well, in the old days, it was where guys would spit in this thing.
Oh, okay. And
rather than spit on the ground, they'd walk over this huge little tub, and they'd spit in it. So, you know, he puts $100 on the bar table, and he says, I bet I can drink spit from that spittoon. Now, the bartender says, I'm not going to take this bet. It's gross. I don't want to do it. And he said, no, come on, $100, let's do the bet. And everybody kind of gathers around him, and they tell the bartender, yeah, take the bet, take the bet. So he takes the bet. Well, the guy bends down, and he picks up this spittoon, and the thing's so big, he's got to put his arms around it, and it's heavy. And, you know, he's sloshing it around as he's picking it up, and he takes a little drink from it, and it's kind of slimy, and it's coming down his face and his clothes, and he's slipping on it. It's slippery. And the bartender said, come on, stop. You win the bet. Stop. And the guy keeps going, glug, 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 glug. Now, everybody's getting sick to their stomach. They're throwing up. And the bartender said, please stop. Finally, the guy wipes his face and puts the spittoon, the empty spittoon down on the floor. And the bartender comes up to him, practically passing out, and said, look, why didn't you just stop when I told you to? You won the bet. And the guy said, well, I couldn't. It was all in one strand. Isn't that one of the grossest jokes you'll ever... I had to tell you that. I was always, for the last 7 years, looking for my opening to say this, and you gave it to me.
You're welcome.
See you later.
All right. Thanks.
West of the Rockies, Karen in California, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
This is Karen. I'm calling from the Bay Area.
Sorry for that story, but I had to.
I thought it was a great story.
You liked it?
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
And 7 years waiting, I mean, how could you not?
I know it.
First of all, I just wanted to say you and I have the same birthday.
June 4.
Yes. Do you meet a lot of June 4s? I never come across
a few, but you don't sound like you were born in 1950. You're not as old as I am.
Not quite 1950, but I'm not as young as I sound, I guess.
You do sound young.
Well, right on. I hope
good for you. Keep it that way.
Right, exactly. I think it's a June 4th thing.
Young at heart. That's the name of the game.
Definitely. So I have a story I've always wanted to call and tell you.
Okay.
My grandfather, he was an avid duck hunter. And when I was 6 years old, he passed away. And you know, we knew he was dying. So the days before he passed away, he had told my grandmother that some of the most beautiful places he had ever seen were places he had gone hunting over the years. And so when he died, he was going to ask God if he could come back as a duck. And my grandmother was like, you know, okay, but, you know, you'll get shot. And he said, no, I'll know how to outsmart all the hunters. So he passed away in August. And the following spring, my grandmother lived since the 40s across the street from a park, but it didn't have any water. But the following spring, here come two mallard ducks. They walk across the street. They come up onto her front lawn. They even walk up onto her front doorstep. She had pictures, and they actually came again the next year also. She bought a 3-ring blow-up little swimming pool, put it on the lawn. The ducks would go swimming in. They'd hang out for about 2 weeks and then leave. And she always swore that that was my grandfather because he called it. You know, he told her that he was going to come back as a duck. He'll come and visit her. He had a cousin that had passed away within months of him, and she always believed that it was him and the cousin.
Well, if he walked like a duck and he talked like a duck, you know what they say.
Yep, he quacked like one, too.
He was. Thanks, Karen. Ian in New York, welcome to the program. Hi, Ian.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
Yeah.
Hey, I got some information about Mr. Ed Grimsley.
Yeah.
And his night vision devices.
Yes, yes.
I've been in the military, well, the Army, for almost 25 years now. And
For serving, by the way.
Oh, thank you, sir. I've been a ground pounder, you know, most of my service. So I've been on the ground with night vision devices, doing night missions and everything.
Okay.
And I do have a location where you can, well, actually two locations where you can find these night vision devices.
And what generation can you get?
You can get first, second, third, and fourth generation.
You can get fourth now? Okay.
Yes, sir. But it's quite expensive.
Yeah, the fourth, really, they're like $5,000, aren't they?
The fourth generation is almost $12,000.
Oh, my gosh.
But there's a good part to it is free shipping.
Free shipping, right? For that kind of money, you can go and fly out there and get it yourself, right?
And the third generation is a little over $3,200.
Okay, now, have you ever in your career looking through these kinds of goggles, have you ever looked into the sky and saw anything strange?
We used to do missions out in California at Fort Irwin, and I mean, there's no other lights around, and when you're done with a mission, you're tired, you're laying on the ground, you look in the sky, and, you know, I've always thought it was satellites going over, but, you know, I'm not sure anymore, and I want to go get back and get another pair of night vision devices and check it out.
Yeah, they're definitely not satellites. I know that.
Right.
And they appear to be real. The question is, who's controlling these things?
I do not know. You know, I'd like to know myself.
Okay, great.
But I do have a website.
I'll tell you what, let me put you on hold, and you can give that to Tom, and we'll check it out first. I try to do that first, though I trust you, and you've been serving. You just have to check them out. You never know. And let's go next to our Energy Zapper line. You are on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, welcome.
Oh, hi. I actually wanted to respond to the person that called in about the shadow people.
Shadow people, okay.
Yeah. I used to see the shadow people, mostly spiders and things like that. And then you had this show with this, I don't know who it was. It was an astral plane show where he was talking about when you die or you astral plane, there's seven levels of existence you
right.
can go to, like it seven could, being the best.
Could have been Mark Lerner, could have been a lot of people, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I don't remember. But anyways, when I listened to that show mentally, I just sort of decided that when I die, I'm going to aim to go to the seventh, to go to the highest one. And I just sort of, I don't know, that show just sort of changed, like, my spiritual outlook on death and stuff. And ever since that, I've never seen any of the shadow things.
They simply vanished?
They went away. So I think that they, like, basically prey on maybe your mental state.
Well, that could be. They see the opening and they come right in.
And then if you close it, if you have a plan, I guess, of what you believe in or where you want to go, then they just, they go away.
And now, was this instantly for you?
Pretty much. Like, I used to see them, like, they sort of came and go. I would see them sometimes a couple times in a week. Sometimes I wouldn't see them for a few weeks. But, yeah, when I changed that spiritual outlook and I stopped being sort of depressed and scared of death and things like that, they did completely go away.
All right. Very good. Thanks.
Thanks.
Keep it up. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. By the way, I'm going to be in Santa Maria in a couple weeks at another major UFO conference. I mean, a major UFO conference. You can get more information on that when you simply go to the coasttocoastam.com website. What a fast night. It keeps flying by. Well, we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We'll continue with your open line phone calls. So as I've always said, simply don't touch that dial. Well, it's time for our traditional Friday night shout out to all of you listening on your favorite radio stations across North America. Hello to you. Keeping Coast to Coast, the number one rated late night talk show in your respective market. It's been an incredible ride. Those of you listening to Streamlink, the growing membership there, I hope you enjoy that. And then the Sirius XM group. Hello to you folks. And then the various chat rooms all around the country. First of all, congratulations to the NighthawkZone.com folks celebrating tonight their third anniversary. They're popping champagne there now, and they're not driving. They're all staying home having a great time. Congratulations to all of you, headed up by Bad Boy and his group of incredible members. And then the Into Infinity group, Frog Forum, Sorcery IRC, the National Radio Club, the MySpace groups, all of you who chat and keep doing what you're doing for Coast to Coast AM. And the Psychic Vampire Line, of course, is 818-817-0021, and we're going to that right now. Welcome to the show, Psychic Vampire.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Hi. I call, well, first of all, I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I never sleep anymore. I gotta listen every night.
Good.
When I was young, I studied with a famous Indian man in Canada who was a psychic. And he taught me about the psychic vampires and told me how to protect myself. And so I just wanted to pass on the...
What was the advice?
The advice, and it works because I've done it all my life, is that you imagine to have a two-way mirror in front of you where you can see out, but the person cannot see in. Therefore, if they're sending you some bad energy or trying to zap you, they're only hurting themselves. It's going right back to them. But you have to practice to imagine that two-way mirror, and they cannot touch you, whether it's someone who's angry with you or someone who wants to attack you or hurt you. They cannot do it because that mirror just protects you completely, and it does work if you practice it.
Okay. Now, you don't need the mirror with you all the time, though, do you?
No.
Once you get this technique down.
When you get the technique down, only when you need, you feel the need, you meet someone that seems that it makes you uncomfortable, you immediately imagine that mirror in front of you, and it works immediately. The person will go away.
That's good advice. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
How dare you? I have finally gotten on the air.
He lives.
You have been keeping me on the air.
No, we thought you were dead. I thought you joined the hereafter.
You could only wish such a thing. I am leading the charge against your this is insane.
Wait a minute. Do you think I would wish you, as weird as you are, to be dead? No.
I absolutely do, because I'm in the way of your agenda, your Canadian communist conspiracy agenda of what you're trying to do to America. Now, listen, this is why I'm calling, because I want to speak to Mr. Ed Grimley and tell him that what he's seeing through his goggles, it's got to be drugs that he's taking, because if there are UFOs, they are of the devil. You will know that. They're demonic, and they're evil.
Well, Ed's not with us right now, JC. He's
hiding
out there
me.
With his goggles somewhere.
Probably out there looking up in the sky, and he's probably using his goggles to peek into people's windows.
Where have you been? You've been gone for months.
I have been on a very deep reconnaissance mission trying to find Ed.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and I still get people sending me all kinds of emails to boilingpitsofsewage@yahoo.com.
Well, I've got some news for you. We found Edna in San Jose, California last week.
I can imagine.
She showed up with a bunch of Harley bikers, classy people. They were well-kept professionals, but she was with them.
Do not torment me, sir. I know. Listen, if you have Edna, I demand that you give me the whereabouts.
I went up to her. On your behalf, this is the kind of guy I am, JC. I went up to her.
I know what kind of guy you are.
I went up to her on your behalf.
Criminal, crime lord.
Asked her if she wanted to contact you, and the guy she was with, she was sitting behind him on his bike. They said no and went off into the sunset.
Of course they said no, because she's been brainwashed by the evil masses, by what you have done to her, and by listening to Coast to Coast and rock and roll music and doing drugs.
I think she's in love.
I'm with the devil. That's how the devil does it to you. And he makes you think it's love, but it's really hate. It's hate for the Lord and what the Lord has to bring you. Now, listen, the reason I'm calling is because you are wasting valuable time talking about things like the Martians and structures on the moon. We all know that there's nothing on the moon except dust. And the only reason, listen, I heard what your guest said, that we haven't been back there because E.T. chased us off. And no one chases Americans off. If we decide to go the moon, we will stay there if we want. And there's nothing on there but dust and dirt. You're talking about terrible things that have no relevance when America's morality is in the toilet. And I'm telling you, listen, America's moral decline is gone. It's gone downhill. You've got Hannah Montana running around without her pants on. And you've got people going to the movies and watching this Batman movie and worshiping this Batman movie. And I'm here to tell you that I have, this is where I'm going to reveal that part of the brainwashing of the media.
You were spotted in a movie, Bad Santa. John Ritter, the late John Ritter, was in there. There was a line in there, he was saying, for the children, you were up clapping and cheering.
I don't know. Listen,
you
that
need help.
Movie was disgusting, and I did not see that film. And I banned it. That's on the banned films list. But I was trying to reveal something. I have an insight about this Batman thing.
What's wrong with that?
This is going to come to a shock to a lot of people, but I think that Batman has homosexual overtones to it.
Oh, J.C.
Yes, it is.
Get some help for yourself, J.C.
It's completely there to subjugate and denigrate and degrade America.
Oh, J.C. Go get some help, J.C. That's J.C. The righteous one, J.C. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the line with us. Hey there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. This is?
This is Tara. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay, Tara, thanks for calling.
No problem. I actually just recently, probably in the last 2 months, started listening to your program.
Well, how did you stumble across us?
Well, I rent this awesome house that has this awesome, huge porch, and every night I sit out here and just... I'll sleep before I have to get up to listen to you because you're awesome. But anyway.
Well, thanks for listening to us.
No problem. Number one, I've never heard the JC fellow before, but I guess he's a regular caller.
He's been away for a while, but this seems like he has crawled out from under a rock.
Well, he was, I originally called because I wanted to discuss. There was one man earlier that had called about early memories. Which is something that I'm really interested in because I have no memories. So
no memories.
No memories. I mean, I have memories that have been put there by like looking at photographs and family albums and stuff like that, but I don't have any, I don't think, conscious memories of my childhood at all.
How far back can you remember? At what point?
Probably maybe 12 or 13.
And right after that, nothing.
Nothing. Huh. You know, like I said, I mean, we have a very close-knit family, even though I'm sort of on the outskirts just because I listen to your program and
you don't
I
think...
love astrology and they're kind of
a little
quiet on the truth, you know?
You don't think, Tara, you're blocking something?
Well, I guess probably I am.
I've seen
a therapist about it, and I went to one therapy session, like a group session on this kind of thing, and it just totally freaked me out. These people are like, everything they remembered was negative. Something negative happened, I don't want to know about it, because I'm happy now. You know, I am happy. But,
Well, maybe if you're happy... There's no need to keep going back, huh?
That's what I say. That's why I will not continue with the therapy. I do a lot of meditation now.
Good for you.
I'm studying, you know, just through research on my own about, like, speaking with animals. And, you know, it might just be your imagination or whatever, but my blood pressure isn't high, and I'm enjoying life. So, but anyway, and I hope that the caller before me... somehow find some sort of light because he didn't sound too happy.
He's never
happy. If we have time, just a short, very short thing. I wanted to tell the caller earlier who has the early memories and he doesn't understand, you know, what that porthole that he's looking through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no expert on it at all, but I would think looking at it positively, it was probably actually maybe two experiences. Maybe, you know, say I'm crazy, whatever, but the little porthole, that could have been, you know, his mom's voice over him while he was still in her tummy.
Well, you know what? You're right about that. And also, though, it could have been a OBE experience, an out-of-body experience also, when he was a little person. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to the program, Phil in Indiana. Hey, Phil, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good. I'm going to be up in Indiana, up in Indianapolis in October.
Really? I'm about 60 miles away from Indianapolis.
Go see our affiliate WIBC-FM there.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Well, I've got a story or whatever, what have you. I don't know if you can make heads or tails out of it. It kind of has to do with the shadow people and the hat man.
Okay.
But it's when I was young, I remember, I'm 44 now, and I remember it was back like in grade school, and in my bedroom, I was asleep one night. I just woke up out of a sleep, and it, when that lady told the story about the guy who tried to commit suicide and he woke up and the hat man was by him in the hospital, it kind of reminded me of that. But I woke up and I had two big walk-in closets in the bedroom, and one of the doors was open, and standing beside the door was like, it was almost like the Michelin man, but he was like regular human scale.
Or the Doughboy.
Only he was on fire. Like when I look at the cover of Pink Floyd's Wish You Were Here album, it still creeps me out because it reminds me, that guy on fire reminds me of it. And he was pointing in my closet with one arm, and the other one, he was like beckoning me to go that way.
Pointing in your closet, not out.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, over 30 years of thinking about it, I mean, I still get cold chills telling people about it. But I think somehow, some way, I was offered a choice that night of which way to go in my life. You know, and
yeah,
I didn't know
if
anyone else had an experience like that or what. You know,
and I would guess you didn't take the choice of going in the closet.
Oh, no. Uh-huh. Oh, no. But I can still remember he had like a big Cheshire cat smile and his black eyes and just a real, I don't know, not intimidating, but kind of a daring look on his face.
What do you think would have happened had you gone in the closet?
I shudder to think about it. I don't know. You know, I couldn't ask for a better family and a better life than I have now, and so I don't even want to think about what might have happened.
Well, it sounds like you made the right move, at least. And there is a lesson here to everybody. When a creature like that points into the closet, don't go in. First-time caller line. Hello, Terry in Florida.
Hey, George, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Well, that JC was so off the chain, he almost made me forget why I called.
No, he's had a few months to get his mind together, and it still isn't there.
Or even let it fall further apart.
Oh, my God, yeah.
But here's why I'm calling. I've had this strange phenomenon happen to me, I'd say off and on over the last 20 years. And the older I've gotten, the more frequent it's become, and I'm trying to find out exactly what it is and how I should deal with it. I guess it's sort of like a theory of premonition. It can be anything from, say, a person that I haven't heard from or seen in a long time. They'll come to my mind, and I may go to Walmart and walk right up on them. Two of the most profound events were, say, for instance, one day, it just came to my mind out of the blue. I wonder what would happen if a funeral home caught fire. What in the world would the staff do as far as trying to safeguard their bodies and things?
That's a good question. They probably, it depends on how fast and you know, how rapid the fire was going. They might just all escape and get out themselves.
Yeah, exactly. 2 days later, there was a story on the news describing that exact same thing.
Oh, my.
What had happened and how the staff reacted quickly and actually rolled these bodies and things out off the property and nothing was harmed.
Oh, my. And then they're all out there in the parking lot.
Exactly. But anyway, but the next, the really unsettling thing that happened, and this was around Christmas time late last year, there was a friend of mine I'd gone to high school with and I'd lost contact with her. And, she'd moved out of state, and I didn't know how to get a hold of her. But she kept coming to my mind, I mean to the point where her face would come to me and wake me up out of a sound sleep. And I felt like something was going on with her, but I didn't know how to reach her. So the only thing I knew to do was to pray for her and say, well, Lord, whatever she's going through, help her with whatever it is. And this continued just about every night for 6 weeks or so. And at the end of that 6 weeks, a friend of mine called me and asked me, said, didn't you go to school with, I won't call her name. And I said, yeah. She said, did you see her obituary in the paper? And I said, what? What happened to her? And she said, well, from what I understand, she took her life.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm not saying that everything that comes to me like that is negative or anything, but I'm wondering, what is this phenomenon called? Should I run from it? Should I embrace it?
Embrace it. You're very intuitive. You've got this ability. Just keep tuning yourself up. Obviously, it's working for you.
Is there a way to develop it if I should develop it?
I think you get there by more and more meditation. This happens to me all the time. I have a friend in St. Louis who apparently has moved out of St. Louis. Haven't seen him in 20 years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
20 years. And when I say friend, he was an associate. I'd go out with him once in a while, and, you know, we'd double date and stuff like that. But I haven't seen him in 20 years.
Right.
Today, I'm coming into work, and I'm thinking, you know what? I got to find this guy. I get into my office, I open up my emails, and there's an email from this guy.
Sounds so familiar.
Absolutely strange. He says, yeah. Hey, I was just thinking about you. I'm over here down in the San Diego area now. He was in St. Louis. I'm working on a movie. Let's get together. Call me.
Right.
Unbelievable. 20 yeah. years.
Yep.
I don't know how it works, but it just does.
Well, you just kind of stay tuned for details, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely.
Keep it up.
Thanks.
Keep it up. Next up, let's go to east of the Rockies. Elaine, you're up with us. Hey, Elaine, what's up?
Hi, George.
Hi.
I also wanted to share a little info with the man that was saying that about memories when you're a tiny baby. And
yeah,
all
sure those. Thing.
Yeah. I remember stuff. My family knows it and everything. I remember stuff since I was even before a year old.
That's pretty good. That is, a year is about the earliest for me.
Well, my grandmother sold her house when after my grandpa died, and I was only a year old then, and I remember being in that house and everything before I was even a year old, before they even sold the house. I remember my parents taking me up these, which looked like then, like great big high steps, and these two green flower pots on each side and everything, and putting me in there, and knew they were going to leave me, and I was crying. And
as long as they don't leave you in the flower pot.
They were going to. It all looked so huge to me then, you know. And they brought me in, and I climbed up on this green scratchy couch. It was all scratchy, and I looked up at this black and white painting of these rocks with the crashing waves going over them and everything. And I was like, I remember looking at that and experiencing the green scratchy couch and all that and everything. And I told them about it years ago, and they said, well, yeah. And I said, yeah, after when your grandpa died, that they sold the house when you were about a year old, they sold the house. So
how old do you think you were?
So I was somewhere less than a year old.
Oh my gosh, that's an incredible memory. We should do a show one day on just baby memories, what you remember and how far back. I wonder if anybody ever remembers being in the womb. Wouldn't that be something? I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.